Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depending on where you're tuning in from, thank you very much. This is Darcy Butkus, also known as Inspector Bark. I'm a licensed private investigator here in the state of Georgia, where I reside. I'm also licensed in the state of Florida. I own my own detective agency here in the state of Georgia. I have been doing this as a PI, private investigator, for over 7 years now, and I own my own detective agency going on over 2 years. However, I have been exposing bad rescues for 14 plus years. I originated from South Florida in the Fort Lauderdale area, where I first started knowing about rescues, and this is 14 plus years ago. Since then, people have reached out to me from all over this country. I have a Facebook page called Inspector Bark. I encourage you to go to that page and please give it a like. I do this on my own time and dime to help people like myself, who I call whistleblowers, those that are blowing the whistle nice and loud to expose wrongdoing within these fake rescue organizations. I'm going to take about another 7 minutes, talk about previous episodes, which, by the way, are all recorded, and you can find them on blogtalkradio.com, and you can look up Inspector Bark. You will see all the podcasts there. They are recorded, as this one is. We're going to talk about previous situations. We're going to talk about cases that are occurring throughout the country. There is a national organization that does send out monthly newsletter that I receive, and it talks about how no kill slowly killing these animals. And we're going to talk about that. My co-host coming on in a few minutes is Julia Sharp. She has been exposing a rogue rescue organization, call it that, I use that term loosely, is Randy Skaggs, and I want you to get familiar with her Facebook page called Stop the Trixie Foundation, also known as the Gulag. Julia will be joining us shortly. In addition to Julia joining us, we're going to have the reporter from The Patch from Brick, New Jersey, Karen Wall, joining us at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Please tune in. If there are any questions, comments, thoughts that you want to call in, please do so. I have listed the number, but I'll give it to you again. The phone number is 563-999-3599. That is a number that you call in with any questions, comments, or answers pertaining to this case that we're going to talk about coming up, or anything that you would like to share with us. The show will go on till 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I can tell you, I could do a podcast at least three times a week because of what we're seeing in this country with these fake rescues, using the backs of these animals to profit off of. It's becoming a constant situation. And until the IRS, the charities and nonprofit division stop giving every Tom, Dick, and Harry a nonprofit status, we're going to continue to see this happen. Julie's going to touch on that because Julie actually spoke to an IRS representative. And we're also going to share with you what you can do to help stop these rogue rescues because there's quite a lot of them. And we will talk about that no-kill phenomenon. And in my opinion, no kill, that's going to happen. How are we going to turn all these shelters into no kill? What we're going to be seeing is more and more cases like the one we're going to discuss that just occurred in Brick, New Jersey on December 3rd. A rescue that started in Cooper City, Florida, town right next to me when I was living there. Crazy rescue ladies. I have a lot of South Florida audience, And I'm sure they're tuning in, and I welcome them to call. Call in. Again, the number is 563-999-3599. But let's talk about some previous cases that you all need to be aware of. I want to talk about Broward Clerk of Courts. Broward County, Florida, one of the biggest in the state of Florida. All you have to do is go on to BrowardClerk.org and follow the case that everybody should be watching. It's a case against 100-plus abandoned dogs of Everglades, Florida. They are the defendant in a lawsuit, ongoing lawsuit. They're listed as 100-plus Animal Rescue, Inc. in the court docket. This is all public information, folks. The case number is CACE22011020. It's a wrongful death. The plaintiff is Angela Annabile, and also listed is the deceased Pamela Robb, R-O-B-B. This occurred on February 17th of this year, where a 125-pound dog named Gladys killed and mauled Pamela Robb, the volunteer, to death. So Angela, the wife of Pamela, is suing, so I would recommend you keep a close eye on that case. I'm also a defendant in a lawsuit that's been going on 5-plus years. And yes, 100-plus abandoned dogs is suing me personally. If you recall, back in 2017, the state of Florida, Department of Ag, fined this particular rescue, $5,000 fine for misappropriation of funds. Three local news stations, Channel 6, Channel 7, and Channel 10, all the story on their news station, as well as posted it on their Facebook and social media platforms. So this has been going on for over 5 years. So if any of you minions that follow 100-plus and believe what Amy Roman, the founder, is saying that they won, that's not accurate. It's not over yet. You know that saying, not over till the fat lady sings. So let's move on. So I shared with you the Broward Clerk of Courts. Again, this is all recorded. If you have any questions and you want to send me a private message, you may do so on Inspector Bark Facebook page. So let's go ahead and cross that off. I also want you to be aware of a Facebook page that needs to be told and needs to be shared. And there's books in reference to this story. This is about a Facebook page called Joey's Legacy, Seeking Truth and Integrity in Veterinarian Medicine. There are people throughout this country that have suffered a horrible loss due to bad veterinarian practices. Please do your homework, check reviews, do whatever is possible, because you don't want what happened to these people happen to your four-legged family member, okay? Joey's Legacy has been on the show, and Scott Fine, the founder, has been doing wonderful things and helping to bring awareness to the public. And that's what we're doing today. We're bringing awareness. We have to. This is getting out of hand. Let me read to you an email that I send out to over 3,800 people, blind copy. Okay, and I keep this list, and they're in categories. I want to read to you about this incident that we're going to talk about primarily for the next hour and a half to 2 hours. Greetings. Another quote-unquote rescue gets busted, this time in Brick, New Jersey, Orange County. Stockpiling dogs and cats living in their own filth, caked on feces so thick the dogs couldn't move. See picture attached. Dogs and cats were stacked on top of one another in every room of the 1,200-square-foot home in Brick, New Jersey. This rogue rescue is registered with the IRS as Crazy Rescue Ladies, Inc. Owner Amy Lozak and her roommate accomplice, Michelle Neese, were arrested in the early morning hours of Saturday, December 3rd. Lozak has two minor children, both girls. Repeat that, minor children. They keep talking about one. She had two. The oldest is either probably 16 or 17, and the youngest is only a year and a half below her. Reports only state that the 16-year-old was also living in the house of whores. Child endangerment charges in addition to animal charges were issued. Where is the younger daughter in all of this? Watch the news clip of the judge sentencing Lozak and niece. Last article listed here. I put everything in the email. More charges may be pending for prosecutor, Mr. Alexander Becker. Let's only hope. Both of these women were acting like they were saving dogs and cats from not only New Jersey shelters, but southern states as well. Poor animals in their home that is now declared condemned. This is not the only fake rescue that has been caught deceiving the public along with abusing and neglecting innocent animals. When is the general public going to stop giving money blindly to imposters like these two monsters? When is the IRS, charities, and nonprofits division going to stop giving every Tom, Dick, and Harry a 501c3 tax-exempt status? The IRS themselves are not even following their own rules when it comes to the proper protocol put in place for board members of these fake rescues. The IRS are another arm of enablers, allowing imposters to pose as rescuers. I also attach the articles where I write links provided below pertaining to the recent bust of the fake rescue, Crazy Rescue Ladies, Inc., which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, their Facebook page is gone. We predicted that. Amy Lozak's personal Facebook page is gone. We predicted that. Michelle Nice, NYCZ, hers is still up. You can find it. It's a black circle. She changed her profile picture. Like, we're not going to know it's her. These people are not too smart, let me tell you. Reporter Karen Wall from the Patch news outlet has covered the story since it all broke, late into the night of Friday, December 2nd. Reporter Karen Wall even attended the court hearing where both arrestees listened in via Zoom from the county jail. Karen will be calling in, as I mentioned earlier, at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. So basically, I wrote at the very bottom of this letter, I wrote, our animals deserve better. We must be the voice for the voiceless. Help stop the bad apples from using the backs of these dogs and cats as their personal financial pawns by speaking up and coming forward. It's a problem we're seeing. People are afraid to come forward and speak up. If you know something, say something. If you see something, say something. And what happens, this is a trend. We all know it. Those that look into these rogue rescues, they love to bully, threaten, intimidate, try to shame you. And, of course, they throw out the word lawyer. And that's what good old Amy Lozak was doing to frighten people. And let me tell you, power in numbers. Because if all these volunteers expected something, and they're quoted, their names are not in there, but they're quoted, and Karen Wall will go into this, how they're afraid of retaliation. Let me tell you something, folks. These two women have a major mess on their hands. Thank God Michelle Neese, who owned the house, is now, that house is condemned. So she's basically homeless. Amy Lozak is probably living with her parents. Where is the younger daughter? Did she escape all this? Or did Amy just allow the older daughter to suffer and live in this disgusting home? The floor was caked with feces 3 inches thick. Walls and ceilings were scattered with feces because the dogs were stacked on one another. They weren't let out. If you read different articles, neighbors said they never saw a dog being walked. And Amy even bamboozled me because I knew her from 10, 11 years ago. She wasn't really active in rescue at that time. Her kids were in elementary school. And then she moved on to New Jersey, moved in with this Michelle. And she'd always, like, every now and then touch base with me and, oh, Darcy, I have a rescue for you to look into. Well, as a private investigator, I go by facts and I go by evidence. And I'd say, okay, send it to me. And a month or two would go by, I'd never see anything. So I think, in essence, looking back, she probably just would say those things to be not suspicious of her. I didn't follow Crazy Rescue Ladies, call and say, "How to rescue? It's too hard." And I remember one time, and I told police officers this. And Julie, if you want to call in, go ahead. You can call in. Phone number 563-999-3599. I think there are some people that believe are going to be filing complaints with the government on her disability. Okay, so I believe she was scamming the government, claiming she was disabled. I say BS to that. So I'm hoping those people are going to run with that, file the paperwork. And I always quote Benjamin Franklin, and I love this saying, well done, better than well said. Because you've got a lot of people that like to sit on social media and just talk among themselves. They accomplish nothing. They accomplish nothing. They just want to hear themselves talk and chit-chat. What I know with a few people that I truly trust and associate with, our small inner circle, I know letters are being written to local, state, and federal agencies, and phone calls are being made. And this is a small circle that I am doing what needs to be done. But we're going to talk about this, and we will then at the 12:30 hour, Karen to call in at 12:30, I'll see her phone number light up. Right now, Julia is on hold. I'm going to bring Julia Sharp in. I'm going to ask her to introduce herself and talk a little bit about what she's doing as a whistleblower. So let me go ahead and bring her in. Welcome Hi. To the show, Julia. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. So you heard my introduction.
Yes.
And I want to ask you about a little bit about what you do and what you've been doing for over a decade now of trying to get this guy shut down, Randy Skaggs. Go ahead.
It has been a long, long path. I've been very active in rescue since the very early 2000, actually before that. I started helping animals in 95, but we became a community in the early 2000s. And I ran across this guy in 2003, Randy Skaggs, founder of the Trixie Foundation. I had talked to him several times on the phone, and like you, I was snowed. I believed he was doing really good work. The few pictures I saw weren't that alarming or anything. And then I went there, and it was horrible. And me being me, wanting to help animals, I tried to help him. And I want to tell you right now, you cannot help an exploiter hoarder. It is impossible. They don't want your help. They want your money. They don't care about the help. They don't care about the animals. They will whine and they will cry and they will put on the most pitiful face ever, but they do not want your help. They don't want you close. They're going to keep you at arm's distance. That is red flag number one. But when I saw what he had going out there, I tried to help. I had a tattoo shop. I offered free tattoos to kids if they would, you know, come on out here, let's do a weekend, go out there and clean up, bay dogs, do this. He threw a fit. He didn't want anybody out there. So, okay, I start calling HSUS. What do you do when you hear something like this? You start calling the big organizations. So I called HSUS. I called PETA. I called Best Friends. I called IDA. I mean, all of them. All of them, you name them, I was reaching out to them, and every one of them knew who he was, and every one of them knew what he was doing, and they could not do anything because of Kentucky law. So I start reporting him to the police. That went nowhere fast. I actually had one state trooper that went out there, and he called me back. I said, did you go in there and look at these vaccines and medications that he told you he had? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, because I would have gotten dirty. The dogs would have jumped off.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And I'm, like, looking at him in his pristine little uniform there, you know. Okay. it's impossible. And the big thing is, so you start going to the county. I talked to old Judge Pennington, and anybody from Elliott County that's listening in will realize just how far back this went when I'm talking about Judge Pennington. And to be clear, the judge executive in a county in Kentucky is a fiscal judge. It's more like a council magistrate. It's not, you know, any kind of legal court judge. So anyway, I started talking to Pennington, and he was telling me he knew all about this, but we don't have the money for a shelter. What do you want me to do? You know, I told him he had to put a fence up. He couldn't let his dogs run around in the road.
Julia, tell me, when you say you go back with this judge, how many years back was this?
2003.
Wow.
That was at the end of 2003. That is how long I have worked on one case, and it is still going. He is still scamming people for money, and he has possession of animals. My rescue took 109 animals out of there. 109 animals came out of there in May of 2020, and he's got animals again.
What do the local officials, what are they doing? And they know what's happening, and it appears to me they are brushing it under the rug, turning a blind eye, a deaf ear. They don't want to be involved in this. I mean, and then when you do call these big organizations, and what did you mean by they couldn't do anything because of Kentucky law? Explain that to the listener.
Okay. Kentucky really has no cost of care law at all. And what that means is when you do a big seizure, somebody's got to pay for these animals. And since you cannot hold the abuser accountable in Kentucky, that means the county has to foot the bill. Now, the county this man sits in is the poorest county in the state. It has no resources really to speak of. And you know, Rome isn't built in a day. I am not pleased with the judge executive on the day of the seizure. He put a note in my hand telling me he was going to start working on things that next Monday, the 4th, 2020. There's still no ordinance. Now, they do have a new ACO, and she is amazing, and I love her, and she's doing a great job with the animals. She really is, and she's staying on top of the skag situation and monitoring the animals that he has now. She made him sign over a pig this past year that was mauled on his property. I consider this a violation of his diversion agreement, his plea deal, but they're not doing anything. He should have been arrested. When this pig was harmed, he should have been arrested. After the pig was harmed, he didn't even try to get this poor thing to the vet. He waited until the next morning, and then he called the girl he got the pig from and demanded that she come get this pig and take it to the vet. Now, she left the pig with him thinking he was going to take care of the pig. This was a pot-bellied pig. And long story short, the ACO made Randy sign the pig over, and then she met me. I took the pig to a vet in Lexington, and the pig cost my rescue a little over $3,000, and that's fine. You know, that's fine.
Wow.
We get the animals what they need. You know, I don't begrudge the pig the help. But
Of course.
I'm
how
angry.
Much did the pig
I'm angry
how
about
much,
it because he should
are.
Have been arrested.
You're
you know,
right.
He should have been
and
arrested.
That's where I believe the public, social media platforms should really put the pressure on the local
That's
police department.
That's what stopped
and
him.
I,
that is what finally got Randy Skaggs. It was social media. But it didn't happen in a day either. I mean, look how long we worked on social media to get this man stopped. You know, it's been years on social media talking about him until he was, you know, charged and arrested in 2018. And then again in 2020 when all the
how many
animals
counts,
were finally removed.
How many counts on 2018? Tell the listeners
2018, he had 179 counts of cruelty in the second degree and 179 counts of no rabies vaccines. In 2020, he had 109 counts of cruelty in the second and 12 counts of improper disposal of dead animals. And there's a video on YouTube of the dead animals being removed from his freezer. He stuffed them in old dog food bags and stuffed them in a freezer. This is the mind of an exploiter hoarder. You know, they're not even worth a garbage bag. Just use the old dog food bag.
You know, Julia.
These are the worst people out there.
And let me just piggyback on that because we do have a call in the queue. So I want to bring them on before the reporter comes on. But we'll continue with this if we have to stop and continue. But there are people out there, and this is a sick world we live in, that enjoy seeing animals suffer. And I do believe that is Randy Skaggs. He enjoys holding a dog. I mean, remember that one dog that he would hold in his arms that he was like with his sob face. The dog needed medical attention, and he would just stand there and just walk around with that dog.
Yeah.
Like wanting people's donations.
Take pictures of the dog. Yes, take pictures of the dog to garner donations instead
suffering.
Of seeking medical care.
Mm-hmm. Suffering,
yes.
Like this pig. Yes. So here's what I like, and maybe we'll talk about this into the weekend, you and I. I like the fact that they have a new animal control officer that hopefully will continue doing what she's doing, putting the lives of these animals first and foremost, because unfortunately there's some really great animal control officers out there. I have a great department here. They are very, very good here in Forsyth County, Georgia. Matter of fact, I'm in the middle of doing my Forsyth County here in Georgia, but I am in the middle of doing my baking, and one platter will go to that department because they are very good. And I followed a particular case where I saw with my own eyes a dog being abandoned, a little 20-pound dog being abandoned in a local park that I would go. And I saw this happen and immediately called my park ranger, immediately called animal control, and they were there in minutes. And we were able to identify the truck, and they took him to court, absolutely. And he lied to his little girls, they were like 8 and 12, that the dog ran away. So they're out there looking for this little dog. I put it out on social media, and then this guy felt pressured and buckled, and he wrote up a lost dog poster. And people then wrote to me and said, hey, Darcy, I think this is the same dog. I got his phone number, even though we were able to ID the truck leaving the park because there's cameras. So, you know, again, I say, if you see something, say something. And with that note, let me just bring in this caller to see if they just want to listen in or if they do want to speak or have a comment. All right.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Julia. Good afternoon. Area code 201. Do you wish to... chime in?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? You could say my name,
say
Stacy.
Name? Okay.
My name is Stacy Harrod Pomeroy.
It is. And Julia, let me tell you who Stacy is. Stacy came to me years ago regarding a dog named Chester, and it was a rogue rescue up there in New Jersey. She's still operating. Surprisingly so. And Stacy is the one that last Saturday morning, she sent me a text at about 9:30 last Saturday morning, and it was an article. I skimmed over it, and when I caught the name Amy, A-I-M-E-E, Lozak, I went, O-M-G. And what did I do? I picked up the phone, Stacy, and I called you. And I'll tell you, I don't swear on my podcast, but Stacy heard me string of profanities, Julia, a string. And I even read what I sent to Amy Lozak's cell phone, which, by the way, she didn't have until she got released out of jail, which was this past Thursday. Was it this Thursday or the week before? I think it was this week
she got released, or I don't even remember. I don't remember.
I think it was this week because that's when the page came down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Karen
week,
was there.
Yeah.
It was, because matter of fact, it was 1:30 the hearing Eastern time, and I'm sure she got her phone within a couple hours after that. But I read what I wrote to her, Amy Lozak, not only to Karen, the reporter, but I read it to you, Stacy, and I think I read it to you, Julia, yesterday. But I'll tell you, I am seeing red with this case. What do you want to say, Stacy?
I don't blame you.
Dorothy, I'm just an animal advocate. You know, I'm not involved with any particular rescue. I try to support my local rescues, and I do a lot of donating. I did get my animal control officer certification, but I figured I would do that once I retire, but I realized that if I was called to somebody's house that was abusing an animal, I would probably wind up in jail, and it's probably not the best job for me. I don't think I could handle it and keep my cool. You know, I mean, you know, I do what I can for the animals. I'm fortunate enough to be able to assist. You know, I've learned a lot over these years, and I've seen a lot of scammers, and I'm not afraid to call them out. And, you know, Doris, you know, I'm involved in a case of a stolen Weimaraner in New Jersey. I really get deeply involved. I really don't know Crazy Ladies Rescues that much, Dorothy. All I know is some of the people that have given her dogs that are searching for their dogs. If anybody's following the case, they know that anybody who has a connection of those 200 animals in that hoarding situation, if they come forward with proof, they're sending them back to those people. A lot of people are searching for them and want them. So if you know anybody that has an animal that maybe wound up in New Jersey.
Right.
Well,
and
I'm sure she got a lot of the animals from shelters. Didn't she get a lot from shelters and animals that had pledge money attached to them?
She got a lot of money, animals from the South. I know that. And she probably did get a lot of animals from shelters because people that are actually supporting her and defending her, one person happens to work for a shelter and is an animal control officer.
Okay. Right. Yeah, their monthly paperwork will look better.
We will always have opposition. And, yes, I know who you're referring to because I directed a few people to go read this woman's Facebook page. Her name is Darcy, of all names, D-A-R-C-Y, Del, D-E-L, Castillo, C-A-S-T-I-L-L-O. And she puts on this long post that rescue is hard. Yeah, it is hard. Okay, I'm not a rescue, but I do see what some of these rescues do, such as reputable ones like Julia Sharp, what you've done to help save animals from that terrible place of Randy Skaggs. And I see that most of these people don't have time to be on social media because they are legitimately saving animals. And most of them will tell you that a lot of this money comes out of their own pocket because they don't get the donations. So Amy Lozak was very sly, hid it from her volunteers. But what I'm upset about is these people start saying, well, it's mental illness. Oh, okay, two women.
The enablers,
In 2017, I think it was, got Teacher of the Year Award from Governor Chris Christie. Mm. She's got a master's degree. Mm-hmm. It says it right there on her mugshot. Okay, so these two women who allow these poor animals to suffer, never see the light of day, along with two minor children, and I keep forcing the fact that there were two, unless maybe Amy favored the younger one and just let her go live with her parents something, or maybe the dad in Florida, and allowed the older daughter. Now, hear me out. There's an article, and I went looking for it, and I printed a lot of them out, but there's an article, and I confirmed it with the officer standing in the driveway. Officer Smith and another officer stood there last Friday night, and you know, who's ever making that noise, can you mute yourself? Because it's really sensitive. Yeah, just mute yourself on your end. Thank you. If you can, because let me go ahead. So the article reads that they're standing in the driveway, okay, and they say to Amy and they say to Michelle, we smell something horrible. we want to go in and see. First excuse that she gave, Amy, was, oh, I have a pit bull in there that bit somebody. The officer comes back at her and says, put the dog in the backyard. Then she says, my daughter has disabilities. Okay, so now she's making excuses. She originally told him that she had 10 dogs. So then he asked her again, how many dogs are in there? And if you don't let me go in, I will get a search warrant. And with that response, she replies, too effing many. Said the word, effing many. And that's when they walked in.
Wow.
They couldn't even walk in 3 feet because of the smell. Then they called all these different agencies, fire departments from surrounding areas. I mean, they all deserve a badge of
you absolutely have to have. Yeah, you have to have hazmat. You have to. These places are full of parasites and E. coli and staph and MRSA and funguses. A friend of mine is still sick to this day from a lung fungus she contracted in a hoarder house. You know,
there were live dogs in a cage with dead dogs?
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I don't doubt it because that's par for the course in these places. This is what happens there. Probably had animals in the freezer.
Mm-hmm. Well, freezer. There were two deceased dogs. But I'll tell you something. I think really, in all honesty, and I've spoken to people within the prosecutor's office up there, I won't name names, and they've called me back, they have crossed their T's and dotted their I's. And I do believe these charges will stick. Unlike in Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, we have a horrible animal shelter director there by the name of Emily Wood, came from California a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. She has no infield experience. And they just busted a cat hoarder in October of this year in a single wide trailer with over 100 cats. The cops came out. The whistleblowers are filming the cops, Broward Sheriff's Office, gagging, almost throwing up. And guess what the shelter director did? After much pressure from social media to go in there and animals, your animal control officer standing there on a Friday at 5:30 at night, you know what he said to the girls, whistleblowers? Oh, my shift is almost over at 6 o'clock. My shift is almost, so that lazy bastard didn't want to do anything because his shift was almost over, but they had another animal control officer on duty till 8 o'clock at night. They did nothing until 5 days later, and I've got Karen waiting in the queue, the reporter. Five days later, upon social media pressure and people calling the commissioners and forcing Emily Wood to do something, but guess what she did? They went in, they extracted these cats, and then, hey, Stacy.
Yeah.
Can you do me a favor and mute yourself? Because I think you're moving your phone a lot and it's very sensitive. Just mute yourself. Okay. You can still hear and chime in when you want. Yeah, but you can still hear. So they call in these rescuers, which, in my opinion, they're not rescuers. They're hoarders just like this one. And she portrayed herself as a cat trapper, asking for what? Pledges and donations. And people were defending her. In a single, wide, mobile home, 100 cats. So then what happened? They didn't have the chain of evidence, right? They didn't document these cats. They didn't tag them. They didn't label them. They didn't take pictures. So she called in, oh, hey, rescue hoarder buddy, come on over here. Grab these cats. So now she gets them out of her shelter, which is this no-kill BS. We're going to talk about that. But let me stop there. And, Stacey, I know you're still listening. And if you just want to chime in, just unmute yourself. But right now I'm going to bring in Karen Wall from the Patch, the reporter. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Karen, thank you so much. I know you are busy. This is Julia Sharp from Kentucky. Stacey's on the phone. Karen, I just want to give you a really big hug over the phone because you have stuck with this story And I remember texting you, and it was this past Thursday, which you're right, Julie, it was this Thursday. I texted you at about 1:25 and said, are you going to be in the court? And you text me back and said, yes. And their hearing was at 1:30. I'm going to mute myself as well. And Julia, if you want to mute yourself, Karen, I'd like for you to tell us how you got involved in this case. Did you hear it over the scanner? Or just go ahead and tell us how you got involved. And thank you for following this and keeping up with this story.
I don't have a police, excuse me. I don't have a police scanner because a lot of the agencies around here have gone to encryption because of protecting when they're doing sensitive work. So police scanners are pretty much useless around here. How I got involved in this was I have a friend who was among the people helping to remove the animals from the house, who texted me at 4:00 in the morning on Saturday and sent me photos and said, just a heads up, we've got a hoarding situation. And I happened to wake up a little bit after the text message arrived and saw it, and I went, oh no. And I went back to sleep, and I slept for about 2 hours, and I got up a little after 6:00. And I sat there and debated about what to do because I didn't know how bad it was. I didn't know how much access there would be to the scene. So I waited until about 8:00, and I reached out to my connection to the police department, the public information officer, and I said, what can you tell me about this? And he picked up the phone and called me and said, you need to get here. When a public information officer tells you that, you know it's bad. So
wow.
I literally threw on the clothing that I had been wearing the day before and, you know, went up, you know, it was raining, so I had, you know, grabbed a raincoat and went up to, you know, as close as I could get because they weren't letting anybody down the street unless you lived there. And people said they could smell it. I couldn't smell it, but it was raining at that point, so that may have tamped down the odor. But you could see people in hazmat, and this was 9:00 in the morning on Saturday, so they had been at it for, you know, 12 hours at that point, you know, removing the animals, you know, going in and out of the house. And all I knew was from the photos that had been shared with me and what the police were able to tell me at the scene was that it was bad, and that it was more than 100 cats and dogs is what they told me initially. And then when they distributed the press release later, it was 180. And, you know, they broke it down, 135 dogs and 45 cats. And some of them had to be treated, needed emergency treatment. But given how many animals were in there and how bad it was, pretty much everybody said the same thing. It was amazing that there were only two dead, and it was two puppies. One of the things that came out during the court hearing, the way it works in New Jersey is we have bail reform in place. So there is no cash bail. But what happens is defendants have to be given a detention hearing where it's decided based on a number of factors, and I won't bore you with the details, but there's a whole host of factors that they consider as to whether somebody should be released to await trial or be held. Because if they're held, if the judge says they're going to be held until trial, that, you know, they're held. And it could be a year, it could be, you know, it could be 2 years, it could be 6 months. It depends on what the case is and how quickly it moves. I have seen people detained for 2.5 years before their case is resolved. In the case of Amy and Michelle, the judge said that because neither one of them had any prior convictions, which is one of the biggest factors, no prior convictions, no history of running from the law, that was why they were freed. But there's a whole bunch of conditions they are under, including they have to check in every week. They have to check in person every other week. So they're not just, you know, out there living their best life, whatever their best life whatever their best life amounts to at this point.
Right. Well, Michelle has no home. It's condemned.
Yeah. Right. What the public defender said was that they were sharing, a residence. What that residence amounts to, I don't know. They were not releasing that information because the anger up here, there have been death threats. There have been all kinds of stuff. So they were not releasing any information about where they are staying. And they are not releasing any information about the daughter. I will say this, I have confirmed through multiple interviews and conversations, the daughter that was in the house was the younger one. It was not the older one. The older one is 18 now.
She's 18
and had not
now.
Been in the house mm-hmm. for some time. So, but there are elements of that piece of the story that I am still working on because there are a number of questions that the court hearing raised that have to be answered. Because, people were very upset with animal control and with the Brick Police Department for not doing something sooner. I put in an Open Public Records Act request, and from January 1st of 2019 through the Saturday when this was reported, when they went to the house and found the animals, there were only 3 calls about animals or odors at the house to the police department.
Is the animal control department different? Because maybe they were calling animal control.
No.
There's a woman that was interviewed, a neighbor, that said she had been calling for some time. I don't know if that's true or not.
There's a lot of people who have said that, and I haven't been able to confirm any of that. The animal control is a private company that Brick Township contracts with, and they primarily deal with dogs that are loose, animals that are clearly loose and belong to somebody. They don't do a whole lot of actually investigating. That's not their role. New Jersey did away with animal control officers per se, because there were some issues with the SPCA, NJSPCA several years ago in terms of things not being done properly and money, and I don't remember all the details. I just remember they basically dissolved the NJSPCA and turned all of those activities, in terms of humane law enforcement over to the counties and to the towns. And each town is supposed to have a police officer, at least one, sometimes two, designated as the humane law enforcement officer. Brick's mm-hmm. current officer is Scott Smith, the one who, stayed and pushed to go in the house. Mm-hmm. There apparently had been someone who retired recently, and I'm not sure which officer that is. But the bottom line is, the bigger issue in this is that the kid was failed by the system.
Of course,
because
absolutely.
What was one of the things that came out during the court hearing was that she was bullied in school tremendously, repeatedly.
And
I'm
positive she smells like poop, but I'm positive her mother didn't care. Any one of us would freak if our kid was being bullied over something we caused.
Yeah.
But this woman
and
didn't
I'm
care.
Still
they
working.
Don't have
I'm still aspects. Working. Yeah. Well, I'm still working on that aspect of the story because there are questions that need to be answered as to what happened. Because the bullying was reported in school. That much I know.
Okay.
I have that from multiple sources. And that was actually confirmed during the court hearing. But.
And Karen, let me just jump in here. This is Darcy.
Yes.
I remember. And I don't know if I shared this with you, Karen, but I remember about maybe a year, 14 months ago, and I told this to one of the officers that called me back, that she had called me And she told me, Amy, that she was going to the school because her daughter was being bullied. Now, I don't know which daughter, okay? Now, both of them were being bullied. We confirmed that with one of the high school students that went to school with the older one. And I regret not saying to Amy, well, why is she being bullied? Is she being bullied because she's overweight? Is she being bullied because, you know, her hair looks funny? I didn't know. I wish I would have known because she wouldn't have told, you know what, thinking back, she probably wouldn't have told me the truth. She wouldn't have said, oh, well,
she
the kids. Yeah, but so I remember that vividly. And again, my timeline is a little off, but that was always probably her way to think to me that she was a great mother and she was going to, you know, no longer rescue anymore. I heard that from her. But it was everything that she wanted to say to get me off her tail. Not that I sit here with all these external monitors checking all these different rogue rescues. I wish I did, and I wish I had a team of people that we can monitor them on a close basis because they are getting away with it. And until the general public stop being so gullible and naive and follow, you know, and believe these people, they're going to continue to get away with it. And then just like some of the stuff I'm seeing is she did threaten not only volunteers but fosters and adopters.
Yeah, but the people who spoke to me, when they spoke to me, they were not concerned about retaliation from her. I need to make that very clear. All the information that came out in the days immediately following Amy's arrest, including documents from Florida, put a target on the back of a bunch of people who, you know, those volunteers had no idea that she had put them down as board members. And they were getting threats through social media on a regular, like hourly, from people who were so angry about what Amy had done that they were getting threatened through social media by people who wanted, you know, said, well, you had to know.
Yeah, not that they were on her board without knowledge of being on her board?
Yes.
Okay, are they going to file any kind of legal action about that?
My understanding, and I have to protect, I'm not going to give them any more grief. My understanding is they're working on those options, trying to find out what they can do about it. Because the concern is they can be held legally liable for what was done.
Absolutely.
So they're all looking at those options, what their legal protections are. Because none of them signed on, you know, none of them signed documents saying, yes, I'll serve as a board member.
Wow.
Well, that's also the fault of the IRS, like I said, because they are giving every Tom, Dick, and Harry non-profit status. They're not even following their own guidelines. I'm tracking somebody in the Tampa area who became a 501c3 in May of this year. She's 24, 25 years old. She's listed as the board member and her mother and father as the board members, all living at the same address. Now, if I'm an IRS agent for the charities and nonprofit, I look at that and go, red flag, now you have to have 5 board members, because if there's 2 that are legally related, then it jumps up to 5. Now, if it's 3, I don't know. Do they go to 7? But they're not even following their own rules. They're taking the fee, and they know these rescues are not regulated, Karen. We talked about that last week. So they're getting away with this horrible scamming, and then this hoarding with this no-kill phenomenon, which we'll talk about after Karen. I know you've got limited time. We'll talk about that in the next hour. It's very disturbing to see. And then these people that feel that, oh, every dog should live, every cat, of course, if we lived in a perfect world. But until we stop having these poor animals reproduce, how the hell are we going to achieve no kill by 2025, which is a mantra that Best Friends in Utah is saying? We're going to save them all by 2025.
That's never going to happen because people won't fix the animals.
No, they won't. They won't. That's why I just said today, rescue's got to evolve again. It's time for us to evolve, and we really need to focus more efforts on spay-neuter. I mean, what else are we going to do? You know, it's
Karen,
halftime,
what
really.
Else would you like? What else would you like to talk about regarding this? Because I know it's a day that you're taking off and you're giving us time, and I thank you for that.
Yeah, no, I do. My focus right now is there's three things that I'm trying to work on in the next 10 days. And you know, one of them obviously is the issue of who let this kid down, because
right.
There's things I've been told behind the scenes that are just heartbreaking, and the system has failed this kid. And if it's failed her, how many other kids have been failed?
Oh, so many.
And that can't
check out
we can't just turn our backs on it. We can't.
No. Check out the NationalLinkCoalition.org. The NationalLinkCoalition.org touches on this. It's about animal cruelty and issues with hoarders and seen as being potential precursors to interpersonal violence and issues with the children. Check out the NationalLinkCoalition.org. It might help you.
My concern is less about those and more about systemic failures on the part of government, because that's the aspect of this that is coming through.
That's what the link is about. It's about teaching all of these people in these authoritative positions, you know, the police, the teachers, the social workers, the doctors, you know, so they learn to recognize these things and they can report better on them.
Yeah. Well, this
let me tell you, when you talk about government agencies, you're talking about government agencies. They're also failing these animals, because we have cases in Texas where local agencies are turning a blind eye to a massive hoarding situation of dogs living out in the element. So it is just one cluster, you know what, after another.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to the children.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the children, Karen, because there's been a conversation with the boy, David, who actually reached out to me, and he's trying to call in between classes. It won't be till about 1:30. He specifically states that the older daughter in school was being bullied. He didn't know the younger daughter as well, but I believe even though the older daughter wasn't living it there at this particular time, this didn't happen overnight. Okay. This has been months and months. But so I want to know, when did the older daughter leave? Did she just turn 18? Was she living in that environment?
Yeah.
My
understanding,
her father.
My understanding from multiple conversations that I have had with multiple people was that she had not been living there for some time. This wasn't just within the last few months. This was quite some time.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping the particular agencies through the police department will question her and confirm that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's the case for her sake.
Yeah.
But let me,
yeah.
I'm going to let you two, Julia, I'm going to let you and Karen talk for about a minute. I'm going to jump in the chat room because there's another call, and I want to see if it's pertaining to a question for you, Karen. So you continue talking. I'm going to jump into a – thank you. Okay, Julia, go ahead.
Yeah. So the other two elements that I'm looking at is more from the perspective of, you know, we know that there are a lot of people working in rescue who are doing the right thing. How do we balance the need for regulation, because there absolutely is a need for it, and without punishing people who are doing the right thing, who are doing right by these animals? And then the other aspect of it is there's an enormous amount of conversation in the rescue world, because I have friends who are involved in rescue and have talked to them extensively because of this case. And there are people who are stepping away from rescue because they're burned out, because of the stress of not only trying to find homes, proper homes for animals, but also the situations that they see on a regular basis of animals being abandoned, of animals being turned over because of reasons that aren't necessarily on the up and up. So I want to try the mental health aspect is part of rescue, and it's something that you know, we are seeing issues with. So whether that's truly the case here, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of questions, and this case is going to have to play out, because I know from sitting in court that there are a number of other issues that that law enforcement is looking at with regard to Amy and Michelle.
And other things that need to be looked at. What was her vice? What is she doing with the money she was taking? And she's obviously not cleaning. Where was she spending the money? That's something, the hoarder that I've had to deal with since 2003 buys land and concert tickets and a lot of food, and he takes road trips. So we can see where the money goes.
Yeah.
We can't see where her money's going.
Yeah, exactly. That appears to not be the case with her, because multiple people told me that the three of them, the 16-year-old and the two adults, were living in an SUV on the property.
Wow.
Sleeping in the SUV. So clearly they weren't taking fancy vacations, but. You know, I don't know. That's
okay.
A question.
Okay, well, they could eat there, so they're eating out, of course, because they can't eat there. But
also remember that Michelle was a teacher, so she had a regular income.
Okay.
Can you hear me? This is Daisy. Well,
yeah, go ahead.
She was buying the property. She was. He posted that she was in the process of getting the property.
She claimed she was. She was, you know, I don't know how truthful that is.
Right.
You know.
Right. I mean, if she hasn't put a deposit down or put any money out, or, you know, she's not buying property.
Yeah.
Right. We don't know that, but, you know, she did post that she was getting a property, so she might have been in the process of buying one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
Given what I saw, I highly question whether that was actually happening.
I probably tend to agree with you, Karen. Let me just say something before Amy took down her Facebook page, which she did, and we know that is part of the course. And I've got a caller waiting to speak.
Right.
Let me tell you, her page right after this happened, and you scroll down to right around Thanksgiving, there was a picture, I took a picture of it, of the two daughters standing behind who appears to be Amy's father. So how did the mother, although Amy claims that she didn't have a close relationship with her mother from what she's told me in the past, I don't understand how these children didn't say to the grandma and grandpa, go, you know, we're living in, you know,
help.
Squalor.
Help.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Help. I mean, unless Amy was threatening them. I mean, if she's threatening people that want to just give a loving home to a dog, and they question why this dog has been sick, and then she bullies them, then it makes you wonder, was she doing this to her own kids? Yes. And just like Julia said, what mother would allow their kid to live in a car or an SUV, as you mentioned, which is true, but this is disgusting. And Michelle went to work.
Yeah.
She had a smell. How did she get dressed for work? They couldn't even walk into the place because it was so disgusting.
Yep.
Those
are all questions that are going to take some time to answer, because I don't think we're going to find it out really quick.
No.
Can you hold on, Karen? You got a few more minutes. I want to bring in the caller.
Yeah.
I did screen him. It's a guy that I know from South Georgia. He reached out to me, and I'm going to bring in Kevin. Hold on, gang, everybody. Okay, let's see. It just takes a second. Kevin, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Darcy. I've been listening to this, and it's just horrific. And while listening, I'm thinking about the poor children, the poor animals, and, you know, the fake rescues, supposedly being no kill. It's just a mess. But, You mentioned something earlier. I want to emphasize, see something, say something. Don't be afraid, because something that people aren't really speaking about is not only where are they spending the money, where are they getting their dogs? And I almost lost four of mine while I was outside in the yard, in the garage with my animals. Somebody tried to take them, and I know who it is, and I know where they were going to be taken, and I know that probably I never would have ever seen them again.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Kevin,
you,
Kevin reached
you can
out
speak to
me.
That,
Kevin,
Darcy.
Kevin,
you know the case. Yeah.
I do. Kevin, tell them how you found me and how you reached out to me, because you found me. I didn't find you.
I found you by accident, and I was just online and researching the no-kill shelter that's literally in my backyard, and I came across, I'm not even on Facebook, but I was able to read enough on Facebook, and I came across some of your feedback, and then I reached out to you, and thank God, you know, you came back and said, hello, how can I help? And I'm really, really appreciative of that.
I know you are, Kevin. And Kevin told me the story. Kevin sent me everything because I go by facts and evidence. He sent me the police report. He sent me who did this. And this is a rescue, so-called rescue, in South Georgia near Savannah that I have been fighting with our Department of Ag, who's supposed to inspect this place, Georgia Department of Agriculture, Companion Animal Equine Division. We have been after this particular rescue for years. Talk about the local police department. I know, Kevin, some people helped you over there, but for the most part, they are letting her get away with this. Her name is Joy Bohannon from Georgia Animal Rescue and Defense. Georgia Animal Rescue and Defense, spelled D-E-F as in Frank, E-N-C-E. This woman, I found all these people that had complained to the PetSmart that allows her to do adoptions, where they're getting these animals that are petrified, particularly of men. We know why, because you've got a convicted felon working at the PetSmart, reports it to the higher up. They do nothing. Managers, not only in this store and other cases I've worked, they will tell you, people will respond to me privately and say, I'm an employee at such and such a PetSmart. We have complained about this rescue, adopting out sick dogs, and all PetSmart cares about is the damn money. Because if you do an adoption and you get a dog adopted or a cat, what are the people going to do? They're going to buy a leash. They're going to buy a harness. They're going to buy toys. Okay? It's all about the money. When is it going to be about the animals? Kevin stuck with this, and this only happened in the past, what, 2 months, Kev?
This happened on October 21st, and what was interesting about this and why I'm emphasizing say something, because my next door neighbor, somebody tried to steal their chocolate lab out of their yard 2 days prior on the 19th. And they texted me and said, hey, this is what happened. And I had, you know, I went out and got their police report. I've been following up with them. And so if you don't say something, it might be your dog that disappears.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you who Joy Bohannon's best friend is, gang. She got arrested a year and a half ago in another county. Wonderful sheriff, Sheriff John Miles in Metter, Georgia. Her best friend is who? Joy Bohannon. Vicki Krubuck, a woman in her probably late 50s, early 60s, gets arrested on, I don't have the case file in front of me, but several counts of animal neglect. And Sheriff John Miles had three local agencies ready to come in and take those dogs. And she dug her heels into the ground and said, no, you're not getting them. I will send them and surrender them to GARD, Georgia Animal Rescue and Defense. Sheriff John Miles called the Georgia Department of Ag, spoke to somebody, a female with the Companion Animal Equine Division, unfortunately didn't get her name, and she says, oh, yeah, you can do that. You can let the dogs go there. why the hell that person said that, because GARD was under investigation because of all the complaints I fed to the Attorney General who works for the Department of Ag. And this guy, nice guy, but oblivious. He has no idea about animals. And he told me that just with the complaints that I found and I sent to his attention, he had three binders full of complaints. Why the hell didn't they shut her down then? And then he goes onto the property with two animal control officers, investigators, useless. Now, I told this, Julia, you would know this. You would think they would go and assess the dogs, touch the dogs, look in their ears. So when I asked Attorney General, who tells me he has no clue about animals, right? No clue. So he's going off the word of these two guys. So I said to him, I said, Gary, his name is Gary Kelly. Gary, did either one of the animal control officers assess the dogs by putting their hands on the dogs? And his response was, we saw each dog. Now, let me backtrack. Joy Bohannon was expecting one investigator. But when she saw three, she was like, her mouth dropped. And I knew because she was tipped off. But he was insistent that, oh, no, I'm sure she was caught off guard. No, she wasn't. She was caught off guard because she thought of only one. There were three. Gary Kelly, his job was to count the animals. She told them she had 97 dogs. She had 147. Okay, here's another one that didn't know her own inventory. Okay, so 50, 60 more than what she said. So now I ask him, direct question, did the animal control officers lay their hand on these dogs? His response, we saw each dog. I asked him again. He said the same answer. I said, I'm going to ask you for the third time. Did they lay their hand on these dogs? And he said, no. So all they did was walk by the kennels.
Walk by and look.
On people that have said to me that their poor dog that they have adopted hovers under a table, crams themselves in a corner because they have been so abused and they're not used to people. And the same excuse, and Karen, I saw this in a couple articles, is that they say the same thing. These scammers go off the same playbook. Amy said the same thing. Oh, we just got these dogs from a puppy mill. And that's what Joy Bohannon would say. Oh, they just came from a puppy mill. BS, you're the puppy mill. And these
here's the other one here. To throw another little wrinkle in here, not only was this woman in Chandler County charged with 74 counts of animal cruelty, and those animals were sent to her friend behind me, she was given community service to work at that same facility and is there now.
Oh, boy.
They're best friends. So can you imagine how those animals are being treated while the local agencies turn a blind eye? And then you call them, and then, Julia, you can relate. We're considered, you know, oh, that's the crazy person, you know. Oh, don't listen to her.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear
from you. We're the radical animal rights people.
Yeah, but
we're not radical animal rights people. You know, we're not.
Do your job. Karen, is there anything you want to say to Kevin? And if you've got to go, we've had you on for all this time, so thank you. Is there something you want to add, Karen?
No, I don't think the one thing that I will say is up here, one of the conditions of their release was that they're not to have any contact with animals. So you're not going to see them go back and do the same thing.
They will. They will find a way around it. They'll have
not in New Jersey. They won't.
Not
in New Jersey. They won't. Because the laws have gotten stronger, and this is going to prompt more. You know, we've had situations where we had puppy mills that were operating as puppy stores, and there's been enough. Cry about and enough done about that activity has pretty much been shut down. We still have a couple of situations that are being dealt with, but puppy mills are not, they're these companies that would come in and sell the puppies for $4,000 and $5,000, that's been pretty much halted in New Jersey.
Well, on that comment, though, because I think you know this too, Darcy, that they swap dogs. So it's been reported to me that this woman here has connections with a woman in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And dogs are transported back and forth.
Yes. Yeah,
I'd like to know if you're coming from Kentucky.
I think that was one of the states that came up in the research. But my point is this: she's not going to be able to legally do this again in New Jersey, because there's a woman in South Jersey who had a hoarding situation, who had 44 dogs in her freezer. She went to jail.
Okay.
She went to jail. So, and our animal cruelty law in New Jersey, if you have an animal where the animal dies because of your neglect or some other action that you do, that's punishable by jail. It's not a long sentence. It's not nearly long enough. It's only 18 months as the maximum. But it is punishable by jail. The other thing I will tell you is that during the court hearing, let me finish this statement. During the court hearing, the prosecutor's office said there are a bunch of other charges pending. They are going to charge her in the indictment, from the way they spoke, with one count of animal cruelty for every single animal that was in the house, one count for each of the puppies that died. So, and those are all third-degree charges. The prosecutor argued for them to be held, because they face a maximum. If they were to get the maximum sentence for every single charge, they face 290 years in jail.
Yeah, three
now, they won't get the maximum.
Yeah.
They won't get the maximum.
No, they never
but,
do.
But
they
are. But they are going to. They are going after jail on this. That's obvious.
And if there's any monetary fines, they'll probably max out the monetary fine if New Jersey has a monetary fine. And Kentucky, we've got a up to $500 fine and or up to a year jail for one count of cruelty in the second degree. So, they usually max them out, the $500 fine, and, probate them and suspend them on the
No, they're not going to suspend on this one because like I said, they just recently sent somebody to jail down in South Jersey. They have sent people to jail in the past. There was a guy that not long after that law passed, and if you want a case that's going to make your hair stand on end, there was it was a Saturday morning in the winter, and we had a winter that was actually cold enough to freeze the local river, which for us being on I'm on the coast. I can drive 10 minutes to get to the beach. So the river in question is brackish. It's not completely fresh water. It's partly saline. The river froze, and this idiot, and I use that term generously, decided to drive in his pickup truck on the river and do donuts in his pickup truck on the frozen river. When the ice underneath his pickup truck cracked and the truck sank in the river, he escaped, but his dog that was in the front seat did not. The dog drowned and died in the pickup truck in the river. And you can imagine how angry people were. He ended up going to jail. It wasn't for long, but he went to jail. So, in New Jersey, that third-degree animal cruelty charge is an indictable offense.
Well, the hoarder dealing with got a plea deal on 479 charges, and they still allowed him to have animals. So, it is very different here in Kentucky.
Yeah.
We're still really at the bottom of the rung in the nation for animal cruelty.
Yeah.
We have no cost of care. We just got an anti-bestiality law. You know, we finally had anti-slap legislation passed. I've been a two-time victim of slap suits from the hoarder. They all scream they're going to sue. Ignore them. You know, it doesn't hurt. Being sued really
well,
isn't. You know,
me,
I'm still
me,
here.
Me, yeah, you are. But let me say what SLAPP stands for, okay? Strategic lawsuit against public participation. Strategic lawsuit against public participation. So basically what they're doing, these rogue rescues, or anybody that blows a whistle, okay? And Julia, I always say, you know what? I admire people that have broad shoulders and a big mouth to blow that whistle, okay? And I admire these whistleblowers that come forward. But not many states have the slap suit, anti-slap. So basically, I know Georgia has it. I know Florida has it. I don't think New Jersey has it, Karen, or is it New York? I'm not sure. But I will tell you,
I
anti-slap.
I don't know that I've heard it, so my guess is that we don't have it here in New Jersey.
Okay, so basically, it's protecting whistleblowers. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to slap you down. That's how I picture it. Slap you down for speaking out. And Julia's been dragged in lawsuits. I deal with people that have been dragged in lawsuits. Those, unfortunately, can't afford to retain a lawyer, have to remain silent, which is sad. I'd like to have a bucket of money for these whistleblowers to say, hey, we've got legal representation.
Yeah.
On that note,
yeah.
I just want to say something to you, Karen, because I also have spoken to police officers within the BRIC Police Department, the prosecutor's office, and you're right. I believe you, and I know that they are doing everything possible to put these two behind bars, and it's going to happen because they treated the place like a crime scene. And some of these places, like in Broward County, Florida, like I talked about, they did not treat it like a crime scene. Everybody jumps up and down. The woman got arrested. But guess what? If you don't have the evidence to convict her, then she walks free. She walks free, and that's where they do start up again. We had a situation here in Heard County, Georgia, that they blew the whistle, and here it is, a rescue that's being licensed by the Georgia Department of Ag, and they found dead dogs in a fire pit with holes in their skulls. They were killing the dogs, so they were probably asking for donations, asking for pledges. They pull the dog. Everybody jumps for joy, the gullible public. They never follow up and see where, you know, where did Rover go? Where did this dog go?
You know what I said
and they
about
found
pledges.
These dogs.
Pledges are bait. Pledges are bait for bad rescue.
They are.
I hate pledging on social media. It drives me crazy. It's just
and
bait.
Let me just tell you this.
I sit there and watch.
When they did an investigation on the two women, one came from either Oklahoma or Arkansas, and what charges did she have over there? She had animal cruelty charges. So that's what they do. They'll move out of the county, better yet, move out of the state. But with these two, Karen, I'm with you. They're going to be behind bars in orange jumpsuits.
Yeah.
Well,
anyhow, with that note, Karen, if you got to go, we'll continue talking.
Yep.
But I am so thankful for what you're doing and helping. I did see one news station. I can look for it. If you need it, I'll send it to you, where they interviewed Amy's neighbors. And there were three of them that were interviewed. I don't know if
you
saw
I know.
Of the names.
No, that's News 12. That's one of the local stations here. So
I believe
okay,
one of my friends
but I'm going to say this. That could be. I'm going to say this. You know, I've had a number of conversations with people who are like, well, we all called. And I honestly think, and I think this is a normal human reaction, so I'm not putting anybody down. I think there's a lot of people who, you know, wanted to say something and didn't and, you know, thought about saying something and now are saying, well, we said something because they feel guilty that they didn't.
They might
I'm doing
have,
more than
but
just
they
saying
didn't
something.
Call the right people.
Yeah.
They didn't call the
I'm
right
doing
people.
Something.
I mean, I have people all the time call
no,
me.
No, I'm not.
And
that's not directed at you, sir.
Me,
right.
You know, and, yeah. So.
Yeah. Because, like
right
I said,
people.
You know, one of the first things I did last Monday was submit an Oprah request for the phone calls to the police department, you know, and you know, when I got back, there had been 16 calls, but only three of them were for animals or odor, you know, and I knew from things that I had already been told that there were issues
with the daughter. So, you know, because I you know, I knew that from other interviews I had done, that there were a number of issues with the daughter where they were calling the police because of the daughter.
Yeah, she was acting out probably. I have another call. Karen, if you've got to go, I'm going to bring in this other call. I don't know who it is. So if you need to go, thank you so much. Everything you're doing to bring exposure to this.
Thank you for changing the narrative from bad rescue to hoarder. We really appreciate that. That's what my friend had emailed you about.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Karen.
Yep.
Okay. If you want to stay on and mute yourself, you're welcome to. I'm going to bring in this call. Thank you again. I'm going to bring in this call. Okay. Hold on, gang. Area code 303. They just go. Oh, there you are. 303. Are you on the air?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, Darcy Butkus. Great, great to hear you doing your podcast. This is Lynn Gerber.
Oh, I recognize this voice in Colorado, so she's 3 hours behind us. No wonder you're saying good morning. Hi, Lynn Gerber. Nice to hear your voice.
Yes.
Tell us a little
Colorado
bit about
morning.
What you're doing. Yes, Colorado.
Well,
nice to hear your voice.
Thanks, Dorothy. And, Dorothy, first I want to say thank you. Thank you for your bravery and thank everyone who is on this call. I know you work with 3,800 followers. I know that you stand up for the voiceless. And I want to kind of switch the dialogue and share that you have worked with us, tab2.org, on supporting us with legislation, with investigative work. I, too, have been sued. And I think I really want to point out that I love the caller that said, if you see something, say something. So I want to just briefly share that we have passed 5 years' work with tab2.org, legislative information, rules and regulations that are needed in Colorado, and Colorado is the leader in the nation on standards of care. So we are here to support anyone, and I encourage Darcy's firm, if anyone's interested, hire her, have her investigate. Factual data is absolutely imperative. Don't be intimidated by these ridiculous bullies. And be brave, because our animals and people need us. So I would like to just close in saying thank you, Darcy. And if we can be tab2.org of support to anyone, we just completed 5 years of legislative work, and we are working on a brand new program in Colorado, working with rural dogs. And by far, at 65 years of age, I love what we're doing. It's on YouTube. It's called Good Dog, Good Life. So follow us. And if we can be of any assistance here in Colorado, reach out. Thank you, Darcy.
Lynn, before you hang up, before you hang up, can you tell the audience what tab2 stands for?
Well, it's an acronym, and it's a Bible verse, but it came from two are better than one. Because in dog rescue, everybody thinks they're a know-it-all. And I advise you and I encourage you that if anyone thinks they're a lone ranger and they can do it on their own and they think they're a big shot or self-important, watch out. Because two are always better than one. Thank you, Darcy.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for calling, Lynn. Good luck to you. Thank you for all you're doing out there.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you so much. And you know what Lynn said, is she's right. And Kevin knows this. I do this on my – and Julia, you know this. We do this on our own time and dime, okay? Nobody is paying for me to do this podcast 2 hours of my own time. I pay Blog Talk Radio $40 a month, whether I use it or not, okay? I mean, that's just one aspect of the cost that I put out. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could align my detective agency with PetSmart and tell them, look, you're aligning with bad rescues, and you're giving them perks and bonuses. And we know one outfit in Tampa, they're taking and using it on extravagant vacations and decorating their kitchens. We know that that's not the case with Amy Lozak, but a lot of these people, such as one in Broward County, Animal Aid, that lawsuit just got finished, 4 years in the making. Two whistleblowers got sued. I was pulled in as a non-party, so, of course, I had to bring in my attorneys. That cost me out of my own pocket. But I will never stop speaking up for the voiceless. And
hey,
Donnie's right. I mean, I said it. Yes, Kevin.
Go ahead. Finish your point. I want to jump in when you get a chance.
But Lynn, yeah, thank you. Lynn had said, you know, when you see something, say something. I had said that earlier. Kevin, you mentioned it. And Kevin, you really, I mean, when you see somebody coming onto your property, and he doesn't, he lives on plenty of acres. He's in rural Georgia, you guys. I've been near his place. But, I mean, he's got nice property, he and his wife and their dogs. And all of a sudden, he was in his, I think your detached garage or your workshop or whatever,
yeah,
and you
yep.
hear this commotion,
right.
and there's
That's
Vicky
right.
Crew Buck trying to steal his dogs. And let me tell you, folks, just happens more than you think. They are out there looking for a dog. They don't report it to animal control, hey, we got a lost dog here, which you should by law. No, they're just taking the dog and hoarding it. What were you going to say, Kevin? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, more than just saying something, and I think you helped me have a voice. When I said something to you, you empowered me. You gave me support. But I'm also attempting to do something. What this woman did was absolutely atrocious. I can't imagine what my dogs would have gone through emotionally had she succeeded. But I am, for $25, this is what it cost me to file in magistrate court, I'm going to go after her magistrate. And they're misdemeanor charges, but it's criminal trespass. It's breach of peace. One of my dogs is a legitimate mobility service dog who she interfered with and harassed. So those are going to be my charges. And I'm hoping that if I can get anything at all to stick, just a little bit, that, and when I get a warrant, if I get a warrant from the magistrate, I've been in contact with her probation officer. He's very interested. He says, if you get a warrant number, I'd like it, please. So at some point, if anything happens with me, it could affect her probation, and she has to deal with the consequences of choosing my dogs that day to try to steal.
Good. Mm-hmm. Never go mm-hmm. away. You know, push it all the way through to the follow through. You know, it sounds like that's what you're doing now, and that's great. So many people give up. Our system is a mess everywhere. The whole thing is mired down. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. Really. You have to keep at them and don't go away.
True.
I hope you follow. Yes. Yeah,
well, I say she jerked the wrong dog's chain, and I'm a dog with a bone.
Good.
Kevin, you're terrific, and, you know, I'm so glad that you connected with me. And, yes, I do believe Julia. He is persistent, and I love that. And that's what you are. You're persistent, and you're right. Too many people, they'll jump on the bandwagon, and hold on, I walked away from my phone. I forgot. And they'll jump on the bandwagon. They'll say, I'll do everything in my power to make sure this bad rescue gets shut down. And you know what? Again, famous quote from Benjamin Franklin, well done is better than well said. And these people just fall off the face of the earth. They're all talk, most of them. Really, I hate to say that.
Well, yeah.
They really
yeah.
are. Big disappointment.
It happens.
Big disappointment.
Well, and it's also a stressful thing. You know, I understand for a lot of people. It's very life consuming. It's very upsetting. It's depressing. You know, it was so hard on me all those years. Every winter would come, and I am 45 minutes away from that monster. And here I am, a reputable dog rescuer that gets animals out of the cold, and 45 minutes from my house, there are animals that are freezing to the ground. you know, it was just torture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I couldn't quit, because it was just,
and you know what?
Stop thinking
yeah.
about
good.
Them.
Good, good, good. Let me tell you, Kevin, there's a story, and I think, Julie, you interviewed this couple. This guy, Randy Skaggs, would advertise and say, oh, come live here among our sanctuary. And do you remember the couple that was living in their car, and they decided, wow, this is a great opportunity. We can go and be around
yes,
animals. And
Darcy,
you know, and,
something
awful.
Tragic happened with something tragic happened with Abigail. You remember sweet little Abigail. She was the one that came on the show and talked on the show. She was the girl. They were living in their car and went out there. She got us all those wonderful pictures and videos. She was a victim of gun violence this past year. She
oh,
was shot
no.
down in Colorado. She was shot down and killed in Colorado in a dog park. And Randy Skaggs posted her picture on his Facebook page and gloated and laughed about it. And he thought it was funny that this sweet young girl was murdered.
Oh, no.
That's the type of person he is.
Yeah.
That is the type of person
he is. He's an
evil
man. This is what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And people fall for his line of BS. It's so disturbing.
They do.
It's so disturbing.
They do.
And I don't understand, again, why do these locals, I mean, if we've got one animal control officer doing what's right, we need to rally around her. And the other ones, I will tell you, and I deal with some people that I talk to in different agencies here, and, you know, you've got, I don't want to say the department, but one guy goes above and beyond, issues citations, gives out violations, and then the other ones will say to him, why are you doing that? You're making us look bad. Do your job. And he was so disgusted
exactly.
at one point. Before the new director took over, he was going to leave. He was going to leave this county and go somewhere else. And a lot of these are retired cops. I won't tell you what department I'm talking about. But all of a sudden, a new director comes in, and he's over a few different agencies. And this guy now feels, you know, remotivated. But when you have lazy people not doing their job, and then pick on those that are actually doing their job, what's wrong with the system, you know? Get them out.
Yeah.
But when it pertains
yeah.
to animals, I will always be the voice. It's sad. It really is sad. I think we lost Kevin, but maybe he had to go. It's just you and I, Julia. But we can take some more phone calls. I'm hoping for the nice high school boy to call. He is going to be out of class. He said after 1:30 Central Time, maybe he might still call in. The phone number to call in is 563-999-3599. I want to talk about, Julia, you're still on. I want to talk to you about the IRS and what we can do to help hopefully have the IRS division of charities and nonprofits. You talk about, you told me the other day
yes.
where you were persistent and you stayed on the phone. And then I've got the forms here. So go ahead. You can speak. I'll mute myself.
Yes, I had a day where it was rainy and there wasn't much to do, so I sat here on hold, and I mean, it was hours. I just listened to the hold thing for hours, and finally I get a hold of this little IRS agent person, and I talk to them for a little bit, and I tell them exactly what I'm dealing with and what I'm trying to do and why, you know, is this blatant fraud just getting by everybody? Surely someone cares. And he told me that there were four people in the nonprofit section in D.C., and they were severely overworked, and there was absolutely no way they could get to all the complaints. But after speaking to him for a while and telling him what I was dealing with, he is the one that directed me to stop reporting him as a fraud nonprofit and start reporting him as a criminal using a nonprofit to scam people. And that doesn't sound that different, but it is. It's two different forms. One form goes to the nonprofit section. The other form goes to IRS criminal investigations. And that's a better staffed section of the IRS. And that is a form 3949A, and you have to print it out off the IRS site, and you fill it out, and you have to snail mail it in. That is a physical piece of paper in someone's hand. So you want to make your report as clear and concise as possible. And we also recently had the article in the New York Times. It was 76 fake charities shared one mailbox, and the IRS
yep.
approved them all. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is a serious shortage at the IRS, and I really hope and pray that all of this money and these new agents that they got in will start to clean up some of these problems. I mean, the IRS was using COBOL computer system, and that was old when I was in computer school in the 1980s.
Well, if you're referring to the 87,000 that they're going to hire in the next coming up years, I don't think they're in place yet. I hope that at least maybe even 100 of them, if they can go into that division, because they are not doing their job, and they're really doing a disservice to the consumer, because the consumer is so easily led to believe, well, oh, they're a nonprofit, they have to be good. I write to, actually, I spoke to somebody, they write newsletters, and they are a 501c3 company that help start up 501c3s, and they send out a newsletter, maybe it's once every other month, reached out to the one author. And she was a young gal, and I remember her calling me back, and I told her about the scams among rescues. And you know what she told me? She said the biggest complaint they get regarding nonprofits, the biggest complaint is against churches, against religious places. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Churches. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, you know,
sure.
and that's
yep.
also
I
something
mean,
we do have to consider. When you have a section of the IRS that has four people, and you have churches and cancer charities and heart charities and animal rescues, and all of these charities are all lumped under that one little section, how can they do their job? I would think even the most dedicated agent, when you only have four of them dealing with the entire country,
mm-hmm.
would never be
mm-hmm.
able to get through them all
mm-hmm.
in a day. You know, you wouldn't be able to do
well,
it. So it's
well,
enough.
What you're saying it is true, because what we're doing is we're seeing on the other form, which is form number 13909, the tax exempt organization complaint. That one is very easy to fill out. I just filled one out last week and I printed it out. I mailed it and you can email it. But the funny thing is when you do it online and you've got that little box of description and you write it in, guess what? When you go to email it, it doesn't capture everything beneath those first four or five sentences. So why would you email it in if it's not getting the whole description? I mean, stupid. So anyhow, so what I did
right.
is I screenshot and I printed everything out. But what bothers me is the fact that they're sending out months later, they'll send you back a letter, snail mail. They don't tell you what charity you're talking about. I mean, I have a friend that's in another state, and she fills out these forms. And matter of fact, I have to email her the form that you sent me. I mean, I've got it as a hard copy, and I've got it in my bookmark section. But she got three different letters from the IRS Charities and Nonprofit Division, three within a period of 2 days apart. She doesn't know which one is which because she's always filing the complaint. She's retired, and she spent her life exposing bad rescues, and she does a great job, retired law enforcement officer, and this is what she does. And you don't know. Here is EIN number such and such in reference to your complaint. Nothing. It's a generic letter. So what they're doing is they're printing it out. They're not even looking at it probably, and they're throwing it away, unless they see maybe 5 million or more. But now that you gave us this other form, and again, that form is 3949-A, I'm definitely going to definitely. Yeah, it's not as complicated. It's just one page, and you're right. It does say
right.
you have to send the completed form.
You do.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot email that form in. That is one that you print out and you mail it in, and I actually prefer that because that is a physical report in someone's hand. Someone is going to open that, and someone is going to read that. So put your details in your reports. You know, put your most serious details in those reports.
I want to go over this form because it says name of individual. Okay, so we're going to say Randy Skaggs. It asked for the Social Security number TIN. Did you give his EIN number in that spot? How did you
yes, I did.
Identify him?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I used
his EIN number.
EIN. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What is TIN?
And you can get
for?
That.
Do you know what that means?
That's employer identification number. Everybody that has a nonprofit's assigned one. And,
okay. So it's a Social Security number.
You can get
TIN.
That right. You can get the EIN off of GuideStar. Or you
right.
can get it off the IRS site. You can also get the EIN off the IRS website itself.
EIN number is, but it says after Social Security B, Section B, Social Security number, Julia, / TIN. What does TIN stand for? I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know. But I know what EIN number is. Yep. So then the next thing, it says date of birth. We could probably... I don't know. You probably know his date of birth, or did you fill that part in?
Yes. Yes, I did have that. I did have that.
Okay. All right.
But
I
had
I
that from another source.
Now,
so.
Gotcha. Okay, 2A, it does mention name of business, employee tax ID number. There's the EIN section, so that's great. So if we don't have a Social Security number or whatever this TIN, you go to the next section and you fill that out. And then Section B, it describes the alleged violation of income tax law. Number 4, unreported income tax years, fill in the tax years. Number 5, any comments? And you're right, I like doing a hard copy. I'm old-fashioned. I want to file it, print it out, save a copy, and put it in the file. So this is not complicated at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we'll be busy with this one.
It's not. And, you know, look at your violations here on this form. I mean, so many of these. Applied to Skaggs, the failure to withhold the tax, the failure to file the return, the failure to pay tax, you know, the unreported income, you know, report as much as you can. Leave it up to them to whittle it down, you know, and you can do your additional information on another page. You can, you know, you can also write a letter and attach it. It says right here, attach another sheet if needed. Go into the details.
Mm-hmm.
Provide documentation.
Absolutely.
If you have access to their, you know, their returns, their 990s, and you see problems in the 990s, highlight them and add them to this report. You know, because while that does fall under nonprofit fraud, they're also committing a crime. So we're reporting them as criminals.
Mm-hmm. We've got another call. Good. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That's very important. Again, that form number is 3949-A. Let's bring in the next caller. And area code 912, welcome to the show. Area code 912.
Hey, Darcy Cow, it's Kevin again.
Oh, hey, Kevin.
I don't know
again.
If you remember.
Well, thank you so much.
I don't know if you remember this or not, but my wife's a CPA. She may be able to have a little after hours wine and Zoom session to straighten some of this out for us.
I'd love that. And yes, you did tell me that. I remember that. And thank you for offering her expertise and knowledge. I hope she knows that you're offering her expertise and knowledge.
she doesn't, but for you, anything, right?
you're so sweet. That's awesome, Kevin. Yeah, we need all the help we can get because I've been able to understand 990s the longer I've been doing it, but we really need somebody that is really focused on what to look for because there are too many of these scammers that are portraying themselves as rescues. And again, the general public just need to stop. Stacey Herrick said it perfectly. She donates to her local shelter. I can go right to my local shelter, 10 minutes up the street, okay? And I can go there and I can see the conditions. Don't be blindly giving to these people that they pull at your heartstrings and they do these live Facebook videos and people fall for that. I just can't understand how gullible and naive people are. I don't know. I see right through it. My eyes just trained for that. That's all I can say.
Right. Right. And, you know, with my experience dealing with Skaggs, I see the red flags. You know, and I watch a lot of things in rescue, and I was like, oh, red flag there. Oh, this one's a red flag, too. And, you know, I do take some flack from people, oh, why are you tearing down rescues? I'm not. I'm tearing down exploiter hoarders. They are a totally different animal there. I mean, the exploiter hoarders have no empathy.
Yeah, that's exactly why Susan's going to be more than happy to help you, Darcy, because they tried to steal her four dogs, too.
Yes, they were her dogs, too. You know, maybe what I'll do is I'll talk to Susan. I know that Sundays is a day just for the two of you, but maybe I can touch base with her on Saturday. Maybe we can set up a Zoom meeting and bring Julia in, because, Julia, you're been wonderful and doing what you've been doing for all these years, and I know you've taken class, and I do, too, and we're always going to have opposition. But I stand with the animals, and I will always say, I will turn in my own child if I know that they are abusing or neglecting an animal. So, you know, a lot of these people that know me, they'll try to pretend that they're friends with me. Well, let me tell you, I'm friends with no one in rescue, no one, okay? I keep my distance, and sure enough, Amy led me to believe, as she wanted to, that she was stopping rescue, and this was like a year and a half ago or whenever it was, and she continued on. But you know what? She deceived me. She deceived those animals. She deceived all these adopters. And I applaud
her. They're masters
her
at it.
Quarter. Yep. But I'm.
They are
oh,
masters
yeah.
at deception.
Yes. Yeah. And you deceived me. Oh, trust me. And I do believe she's going to have to probably get the hell out of New Jersey. She's not welcome back in Florida. I don't know where she's going to end up, but we'll find her. We'll find her. She will, unless she goes
yeah.
to jail. And then we'll find her in jail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be always
yeah.
supporters. There's always going to be opposition. There's going to be people that will feel sorry for her. And she'll resurface out on Facebook giving an explanation, probably blaming her roommate or blaming her own kid. Who knows? They all make excuses.
Yeah.
They never hold themselves
there
responsible.
There will be a blame. She'll
mm-hmm.
blame the shelter she was
is,
getting the animals from.
Of course.
You know, they kept asking me,
of
and
course.
I couldn't say no. And, you know, I just couldn't say no. And then the enablers are going to say, why are you picking on her? She was just trying to help. It's the same
mm-hmm.
story over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah. And if you go on to the bad and ugly in the world of pets, there's a conversation that was captured on this Darcy Del Castillo's page. And this woman came back and said, sorry, I don't feel sorry for her or her roommate. And this woman just got very defensive. And when you see something like that play out and they get so defensive and they immediately block you and or delete you, that's a red flag to me. Because if you are transparent, then you will address these issues. But this woman that
mm-hmm.
is defending Amy, and we do have at least one dog, and there's somebody else working on that she did give to this crazy Rescue Ladies, Inc. And Amy, even before she took her page down, referred to this Darcy as Aunt Darcy. So don't tell me that she didn't know anything. And then she kept insisting that there was only one daughter. Well, if you're such good friends with her, first you're sticking up for her.
Right.
Then she's doing the backstroke and saying, oh, well, I didn't know her that well. Oh, then why are you sticking up for her and saying she's got mental illness? These people talk out of both sides of their mouth. But on that note, I've got only five more minutes left of the show. And, Kevin, is there anything else you want to talk about? Because I'm going to jump on here, and Julie and I are going to talk about no-kill and that myth.
Nope, I'm good. I'm going to jump off.
I'll talk to
nice
you.
Nice meeting
you,
Kevin.
Call. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
He's a good guy. And thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin, for the call. Good guy. And let me tell you, he sent me all the facts and the evidence of what these people are doing. And then I love it because, you know, he's in rural Georgia. So, you know, Georgia, people have guns. And he heard this ruckus. And seeing these people trying to trespass and get his dogs, he threw a
wow.
shotgun over his arm. Yeah. And
he's very lucky.
Susan was standing in the kitchen. I know. And Susan and his dogs are very lucky. I can't imagine if anything happened to my Ricky or Lucy, if anybody. And, you know, we hear this also. I've had whistleblowers tell me that they feel that these people are going to retaliate and poison their dog or let their fence gate open. Well, you know, I have surveillance cameras throughout my house. On the outside, I have to because of the line of work I do. These people are dangerous when you affect their pocketbook. They will do everything in their power to shut you up. So I really do want to talk about, and the next one for the new year, and we've only got 4 minutes left, is I want to talk about this no-kill. And there's articles about it. And you know what? These shelters are thrilled when dogs go on transport to God knows where. They're thrilled because those dogs are walking out alive. So their reports look great. You know, so they can report, oh, look, we had all these animals leave alive, but where the hell did they go? And this whole thing with clear the shelters, that's another thing that has to stop. They're just benefiting themselves. They're not helping the animals.
It's
just making themselves look
good. I have no kill equals slow kill. It's just killing them in a different way. It's not truly no kill. No kill has failed. It was doomed to fail from the start. And this has been my issue with Nathan Winograd all these years. He pushed for a no kill nation. If he has a talent for getting people to listen to him. I mean, he really does. Why didn't he push spay and neuter nation? Do you have any idea how much further ahead we'd be? Spay and neuter is part of their little no-kill equation, but it's not the focus, and it needs to be the focus. It absolutely needs to be the focus. You know, and right now, shelters, their reports look good at the end of the month. We got all these animals out, but, you know, okay, so many shelters out there, you have to be a 501c3 to pull, and I can't scream it from the rooftops enough. 501c3 is not an indicator of quality. It never has been. It never will be. It is just U.S. tax code. How much faith do we have in U.S. tax code? You know, so stop putting faith in 501c3. It's just tax code. You know, I know rescues that are not 501c3 that are wonderful, wonderful people, wonderful rescues. And yet they have trouble getting animals out of shelters because they're not 501c3. That's stupid.
You're right.
That is
You're absolutely
stupid.
Right.
It's got to stop.
These shelters,
and,
of course,
you know,
they don't do a home check. And these dogs are going on these illegal transports. One just got in an accident. Forgive me, I don't know the location that was sent to me just a couple days ago. I really haven't sunk my teeth into that.
No health certificates, no vetting, you know, van fulls of animals with no. I belong to For All Paws Sake Network. We are FAPS. And what we are is we're a well-vetted group of rescuers, shelters, and drivers. And everybody in our rescue has to fill out this huge application, and we check. We have a screening team. Everybody in our group is checked out. So when we're networking with the people within our group and moving our animals through there, we know it's safe, you know, but how many people out there aren't checking, you know, I'll take your dog.
They're not.
Okay. Load them up.
And then when I do a deep dive,
it's failing the animals.
I got 60 seconds. And when I do a deep dive into their background, you should see some of the charges they have. DUI charge. Okay. Speeding, I mean, would you want your loved one to be placed on a transport with these shady characters? They are coming.
They
out
would
of
not
network.
Be allowed to be a driver in our network. They would not be allowed in our network. That's for sure.
I'm gonna look at this one. But on that, we've got less than 60 seconds. Julia Sharp, thank you so much for contributing to this podcast. Please, everybody, the Facebook page, Stop the Trixie Foundation, aka the Gulag. Please follow, like the page. They're doing beautiful things to expose this horrible creature. And, Julia, let's talk again because I definitely want to do another show, and we'll talk about the no-kill and what's happening.
Okay.
What's happening.
All right.
All righty.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Darcy.
Thank you. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, that is it for this show. Stay tuned. Announcements will be made on the Inspector Bark Facebook page for the next up-and-coming show. Thank you all for listening.